Welcome to the Classy Ring Guitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And this might be the most meta podcast we're ever going to have.
Yeah.
Because we're just going to talk about other podcasts.
Well, okay. First of all, there's one thing that happened this week that really, it's probably the most important thing ever. And it's really the only thing anyone is ever talking about this week. That clearly is the teaser trailer for Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah, Star Wars Episode 7.
How amazing was that? Like, I loved it.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And here's the thing. All right. Oh, yeah. So, we'll get to wrestling in a second.
Come on. Guys, what do you expect from us?
In all honesty, like, so somebody's like, here it is. And somebody in genuine earnest, here it is, it's debuted, here it is. And what they showed me was a fan edit kind of thing.
Right.
And so it was the thing where I was watching it, and about 40 seconds in, I'm like, this is not the real trailer. This is
right.
A fan edit.
This isn't it, yeah.
But that's fine, you know, it was not a bad fan edit, but, yeah. But you know, it was a good effort from the guy, and, you know, and I had to tell the guy, like, it's not the real thing.
Right, he was someone who, like, yeah, wasn't trying to, like, screw with you or anything.
He was
legitimately like, hey, this is it.
But me already kind of being like, I'm stressed beyond belief.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and so that, and then seeing this thing, and having 40 seconds of being like, something's off. Something's off with this movie.
Yeah.
They're not making it right like I wanted.
Right.
So having all that, so I'm going to watch the trailer.
Mm-hmm, the real one.
Yes. And the Benjamin Burtt, the guy who made the sound effects for the original series.
Yes.
Holy crap, is a genius.
Yeah.
Just because every noise I could hear, like, the engine sounds that the TIE Fighters make, like, as soon as it happens, I'm like, I recognize that.
Yeah.
And, like, the
is that same guy working this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. But, I mean, these are, you know,
because
these are
the noise for that new lightsaber sounded amazing.
Like, they're standard sound effects of just the way the engines sound in Star Wars and the way that stuff, the way Star Wars sounds.
Yes.
And that was, like, original John Williams music, and it still sounded like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And so, more than anything else, it was a cool thing. I mean, you know, we can talk about, like, oh, that was a soccer ball, and
right.
We can talk about, like, why is the three-blade lightsaber happening? You know, but whatever. But back and forth, there's nothing in that trailer to actually, you know.
Yeah. Really no. Like,
there's plenty to focus on, but, like, there's, you know.
Nothing.
It's 88 seconds of this movie.
Right.
But the sounds. And, like, I was just listening to it. I was like, that it sounds like Star Wars. Yeah. And it hooked into that sense. And I was like, oh, good job. Yeah. Good job. And
so already it feels like Star Wars, which we were kind of afraid of. Like, it's going to feel, you know, like J.J. Abrams Star Trek or something along those lines. Yeah.
That's the thing, is like it in some ways it looks like Star Wars, in some ways it doesn't look like Star Wars, but it sounds like Star Wars.
Okay.
So
just very quickly, because everyone has an opinion on this, what do you think about the lightsaber and what it is?
Okay, so If you look at, okay, this is going to get nerdy.
I don't care. Again, our audience knew this was going to happen. Come on.
If you look at the blade in there, that is not as clean
it's shaky,
a blade.
Right. And see, the thing is, with especially Jedi, you always built your own lightsaber.
Yes.
So I think it was, you know, whoever made it just made it out of whatever they could find.
See, what I thought was it was an older model lightsaber that somebody found.
Or that too, yeah.
Before
I think the sides are, I think that's just exhaust.
I don't
or
know
something about, along those lines. Or the lightsaber equivalent of exhaust.
I don't know if it's exhaust. I don't know what it is.
Mm.
We'll see. I mean, and that's the thing. So much of it is, we'll see. Because here's the thing. If you get, there has never been in the entire time of being a Star Wars fan, from May 26th, because the movie came out May 25th, so from May 26th, 1977, to this moment, there has never been a Star Wars movie coming out. I've never been able to see a trailer and just been like, I don't know what any of this is.
Right.
Because that's never happened before and will never happen again. Because even Phantom Menace, like even when
Phantom Menace had an idea of what
came out, by the time the trailer came out, everyone knew that Ewan McGregor was young Obi-Wan. Everyone knew that
Jake Lloyd was young
Jake
Anakin.
Lloyd was Anakin. Everybody,
and if that didn't give it away, the shadow poster gave it away.
Everybody knew that Qui-Gon, that Liam Neeson was some kind of Jedi.
Yeah.
Nobody knows anything about this movie. So, like, when they have the shot, you're like, that guy, is he a stormtrooper or is he a guy hiding in stormtrooper armor?
Right.
Don't know. Could literally be either way. And when episode 8 comes out, we won't know what's going on again, but we'll have more of an idea of the angle of this trilogy. So this moment and this trailer is the least amount of Star Wars information we have had on a movie ever.
The best thing.
And will ever.
Honestly, for me, the best thing about it was Andy Serkis narrating. You know?
Yeah.
Is he a bad guy? Who knows? He sounded bad guy-ish.
I don't know.
But I at this point, I'll watch anything he's involved with because he made me care about, you know, two types of monkeys so far. King Kong and now Caesar in the new Planet of the Apes movies. Series.
Well, we will return to the Star Wars update in May when the trailer is that attached
when the full,
to...
Is that when the full...
Trailer? I am assuming that they're going to attach a full trailer to Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Because they're both owned by Disney.
Yeah.
And that is the exact same fan base.
Right.
Like, the only other thing Disney has coming out before then... I mean, they have something at Into the Woods, but that comes out next... Or this month, like this month, so maybe they'll do it, but I don't know. And the only other big thing is, like, Cinderella in March.
Yeah.
Which they could attach something to, but...
The type of audience they're wanting is probably more the Marvel type audience, which is a big crossover.
Yeah. And so, and I don't... Again, you know, movie trailers are different these days. Like, somebody took all the unique footage of Amazing Spider-Man 2, all the different trailers and all the different TV spots. They had over 30 minutes of unique footage. That, you know, so they had a good third to fourth of that movie.
Yeah.
You know, that they could piece together with it. So, I don't know how much Star Wars footage we're going to get before December next year. But,
all right, fair enough.
All right. Anyway.
Okay. So, we got that out of our system.
Yes.
Now, let's get something else out of our system. That's clearly, you know, the punk podcast, or the, you know, punks on...
Well, there's the punk podcast, and there's the Stone Cold Vince McMahon podcast.
Yes.
I guess trying to go in order, we'll do punk first.
Yeah.
Although there's a little bit of crossover, obviously.
Well, yeah. Of course.
What were your initial reactions?
A lot of it was, I, and again, like, this is just going off of one man's point of view.
Yes.
A lot of it was like, how dare you, WWE, you broke him, you know?
Yes.
Like, a lot of it was kind of, like, resentment towards WWE for the role that they played in Punk literally saying that they're never going to do business again. He'll never do business with them again.
Yes.
So, it's one of those things where it's like, I felt pretty negative about Triple H, Ryback, of course, the Doc Amon and everything, like, and the WWE as a whole. The only person that doesn't really come out as a jerk about this is kind of Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Because even in his anger and his resentment towards the company, he still, like, he didn't necessarily paint Vince in a bad light. Like, Vince was the one that was trying to keep everything together. He was trying to, you know, keep all sides talking. He was the one that got emotional whenever, you know, Punk was going to leave.
Yeah.
So that's my initial, like, feelings. Yeah, like, that's... Now that I've had time to think about it, you know, and now that I've kind of heard a little bit of, you know, Vince's side, I think there's some stuff that might have gotten blown a little bit out of the water a little bit. And again, there might have been some miscommunication in there.
I fully believe that there's miscommunication.
But yeah.
I fully believe that. I want to... And some things, like, I want to believe that Ryback is not as careless a worker as CM Punk paid him to be. But it's not hard to believe.
No.
That he is as stiff of a worker.
Right, and it was 2 years in a row that he, you know, significantly, well, probably worsened Punk's injuries and probably added some new ones. You know, that's... You would expect, like, once or twice an accident, three or four more times is habitual.
Well, and the thing is, like, he buries Ryback, and in the same podcast says, Kofi Kingston kicked me in the head and gave me a concussion. no hard feelings, Kofi Kingston.
Well, yeah, and it's not, and that's the thing again. Like, he's wrestled with and against Kofi probably plenty of times, you know, probably on house shows and stuff, and they've worked together, and Kofi's worked with a lot of people, and...
Well, CM Punk is not incapable of seeing when something is a genuine mistake.
Right.
So...
And he's friends with Kofi, so he knows it was unintentional.
Yeah.
Whereas Ryback, he was like, it kept happening so frequently and in such a short period of time that he started to wonder, you know?
Yeah. And there is... I have to believe, like, just looking at everything, trying to look at it from all perspectives, I have to believe that Triple H does not get why Punk is so popular and so successful.
Yeah.
Triple H, as far as a creative standpoint, does not, cannot fathom what it is that people like about Punk. He doesn't get it.
He doesn't. And that's what we're kind of getting from Punk's side of things.
Yeah, and he doesn't like Punk. And... That's something...
And that's something that we've been, like, stuff has been coming out, like, over the past few months anyway, when all this was happening.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was saying, Vince is the one that was trying to glue everything back together, Triple H really didn't care one way or the other, and, you know, doesn't really understand why they're putting so much effort.
My initial reaction was along the, like the second I turned off that podcast, my initial reaction was, WWE, how... dare you?
Yeah.
You have the best wrestler of your generation.
Yeah.
And you have robbed him of the greatest matches of his life. You have robbed the audience of seeing the greatest wrestler of this generation.
Yeah.
Because of your arrogance and your shoddy work environment and your corner cutting, you have undermined and undercut any hope of being able to see the most gifted wrestler perform at his peak ability.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so, and I was frustrated and angry and bitter. And I was like, and I, like, even being that angry, I'm not canceling the network.
Right.
But I could see why people were doing it. I was like, this is, and there was very much a this has to, you know, this has to change. And because one of the things, in all honesty, one of my things was after listening to Punk and just hearing all about the medical issues and all of that, and just thinking they learned nothing from Benoit.
No,
and it just, I was like, that was, and if I just really, I was mad. I was really mad and upset and furious, and it did take, it probably took a day or two to like step back. And really, really, really think about it.
Right.
And, like, take some space, take some distance. And part of that is, I'm going to believe Punk's side first and fast.
Right.
Because of personal
bias. Yeah, and one thing, because you're referring a lot to, you know, them not really putting him through that much of a test as far as concussion-wise. Part of that, you know, it could be, as he said it was, where it was kind of not really that strenuous of a test or that thorough. But you also got to think about it, the way Punk is, if they told him, hey, we don't want you wrestling because you have a concussion, he probably would have, you know, yelled at them and insisted on doing it anyway. Like, this is a guy who, you know, had a fractured skull and came back and wrestled way too soon for that. So...
Yes, but that's... That's the environment built. Like, you watch Dolph Ziggler get a deep push from getting a concussion from another wrestler.
Yeah, that's...
And, like...
And that's another point of enragement that kind of fits along that same thing.
Yeah, like, well, and that's the thing, is, like... You see CM Punk's talked about, like, they... You know, how popular they are, their merchandise and kind of stuff, that affects their payment.
Yeah.
So, you watch another person kick you in the head and give you a concussion, and the result is you get paid less.
Yeah.
And not just because you're out for X amount of time taking care of yourself.
Because your momentum dropped.
But yeah, you come back, not even just like your momentum naturally drops like it would from you being away, but that there is a corporate de-pushing of your character that will cause that. And so...
Because of lack of sales.
Yeah, there is an environment where... You don't treat concussions as seriously as you might should.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I was mad at Ben.
Yeah, and, like, at that point, like, he did kind of make a pretty good case for some sort of, you know, wrestlers being unionized.
Yes.
Because that independent contractor thing, we've talked about it for the longest period of time, that it's complete BS and they really need to do away with it.
Yeah.
Like, they're not independent contractors, because an independent contractor can take their services, whenever they complete a job with one company, they can take their services wherever else would hire them.
I mean,
they could have certain loyalties to certain, you know, customers and stuff like that, fine. But you can't, when you sign a contract with WWE, you cannot work with anybody else, and you have to stick by their guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, the loosest form of an independent contractor you could possibly get.
Yes. Taking a step back and like, okay, CM Punk is a very opinionated guy, has a very one-sided, will-not-be-swayed view of things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, starting to look at it. It's a little hard to swallow Triple H didn't know when the European tour was.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't.
Maybe it didn't hit him at the time they were talking.
Yeah. Maybe that's being remembered a certain way by Punk.
Right.
You know, but that... So
let's be honest. Did he really want to do 12 rounds too? Come on.
I don't want to do 12 rounds too.
I know.
I like 12 rounds.
Should have been called Baker's Dozen.
Should have been. But also, like, you're sitting there. Not being Punk, I am willing to give WWE the benefit of the doubt that the whole wedding day thing was a coincidence.
Yeah.
And Vince went as far to say that.
And he apologized.
He did. He apologized for that. It was bad timing, and it was a poorly timed coincidence. Which... I will give them that. Fair enough. And...
Because I had a feeling talent relations probably knew. Because AJ's still under contract, and she, you know, was taking time off and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They probably had an idea. The legal side of, you know, and corporate side, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I would give them the benefit of the doubt as well. At least talent relations side.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
So.
The coincidence.
But the whole fire on your wedding day thing, not the biggest problem in there.
No.
I
know for Punk that was probably like the icing on the cake.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure that was.
Yeah.
And like
that was the last straw. And that's the point where he decided to take legal action.
He harped on that a bit, but, I do not understand at this point people at Punk's level, Punk and Cena and Orton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how they don't have their own doctor.
Yeah.
Like, especially after this.
That absolutely should. And again, they're the ones that could afford it.
Yeah.
You know, the guys lower down, probably not, because, again, the whole independent contractor loophole is that they don't have insurance through WWE. They have to go find their own.
Right.
Which is probably... I can't even imagine how much it would
be... Your insurance is if you're a wrestler.
For, you know, for their occupation.
And I don't know what the pay scale is...
Right.
For Zack Ryder.
Right.
You know, I know that Cena gets along fine, and...
And Randy and CM Punk got along fine.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing I was... You know, a lot of times, was just like, when Punk was talking about, you know, he was talking about, you know, hey, Doc, look at this, and these get cut out or whatever. There's points where I would, after a while, I would have seen some sort of specialist. And again, on the road a lot, you might not even have time for that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And, you know, a lot of it had to do, because it was around the time where he left, and they were about to gear up for WrestleMania, and he was still trying to vie for a main event position on WrestleMania. So it probably was like, I could see a specialist, but you cut this out of me now, but either way, I'm still going.
Yeah.
You know?
A couple of things. In defense of Punk that I've seen people complain about, that I do side with Punk on, there is one main event of WrestleMania.
No, I don't subscribe to that BS either. The whole, like, oh, it's multiple main events or whatever. I mean, sure, there's multiple big matches, and there's some matches that are bigger than others.
Yes.
But no, there's only one main event.
Yes.
And it is the last one.
Yes. The main event goes on last.
Yeah.
That's how it happens. So, no, CM Punk has never... main event at a WrestleMania.
Right.
And if you want to, the schematic differences between, oh, he has headlined a WrestleMania, even though he's a main event of Madison, whatever.
Right.
He wanted to main event a WrestleMania. He's never main
event. He wanted to close out WrestleMania.
Yes. People have also complained about CM Punk complaining about money when he is well and fine on money, especially in comparison to his paycheck being less than Cena's or Undertaker's, right, or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, I get that. And like,
but when it's something that I could see greed playing a factor, if it was something that he didn't already, if it wasn't something he was already owed. Yes. This is money that was owed to him.
Well,
or at least that's what he...
No, that's an entirely different thing. The money that he is... Now, there's one thing. There is a certain statute. I don't know what it is exactly. But if you don't cash a check after a certain time,
mm-hmm,
they are no longer legally obligated,
right,
to...
And I think that's what he was talking about, like that check that he found. He was trying to get them to...
Reissue that check, yeah. Now, if WWE... doesn't, then that's just that they look bad doing it. I mean, right, that's in poor,
right,
you know, that's being snippy, right, on their part.
But that was just that one check on top of other checks that should have,
yes,
been sent his way that never made it to
but him. CM Punk was implying that, and WrestleMania 29 specifically, that Rock, Undertaker, and Cena all made more money than he did, mm-hmm, even though... And he deserved to be on that pay level. But he specifically said in there that he would have made just as big a stink about being paid $1 less, right, than Cena.
And it goes back to wanting to be the best and wanting to be the main event of WrestleMania. Yes. Like, it was more along the lines of that than it was, I want more money just for wanting more money, yes, you know?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, he wanted to be paid what he was worth.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, in the business world, what you're worth is what someone's willing to pay you.
Right.
And nobody's willing to pay CM Punk more than WWE. So whatever WWE wants to pay Punk is, in a business sense, what Punk is worth, because, mm-hmm, nobody will be able to match or beat that, right, price. But Punk feels that he is worth more.
Right.
And Punk feels he's worth more than John Cena. And so I can't say that he's not...
Right.
You know, because he is, in my opinion. And so,
right.
And that's the thing.
But, I mean, you know, you would think that being in a match with Undertaker on that night, he at least should have gotten paid somewhat close to what Undertaker got paid. Now, of course, Undertaker's going to get a little bit more because it's the Undertaker.
Yes.
You know, and he works once a year, so yes, fine.
And, like...
And, yeah.
I go and have many times on this podcast gone back and forth on the whole part-timer thing.
Yeah.
With, you know, CM Punk going since the pipe bomb promo.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk should have been in the main event of WrestleMania 27. It should have been John Cena versus CM Punk. That is your biggest...
28.
No, 27.
Oh, you're 27. Okay.
When it was Cena versus The Miz,
okay,
should have, yeah, been Cena versus Punk. I mean, that is your... He said, as much as I love Miz, mm-hmm, and that was Miz at his top.
You're right.
But looking back on it, WrestleMania, your top heel and your, mm-hmm, top face go at it. And at that time, you had the fortune happenstance of having your top face on one show and your top heel on another show.
Right.
So you, not technically, because I think Punk actually transferred over like in January of that year. Because that
he,
was
new, no, he new he trans he transferred over right before he got hurt and got the surgery and got on commentary.
Yeah,
like, they moved him over just before that, and then all that happened. So it was kind of like a weird coincidence.
Yeah, but it could have easily that could have easily been a thing.
Yeah.
But then you go to 28, and again, from a business point, Rock and John Cena main events a show.
Yeah,
it does. I love Punk dearly, and I think he puts on the best shit match of the night. I think he deserves that spotlight.
Yeah,
but I cannot look at it and say, from a business sense, Cena versus Rock doesn't end your show.
Yeah.
You do it wrong by dragging that out for a rematch the next year.
2 years, yeah.
But even then, if you decide you want to do that, if Rock's willing to wrestle, Rock goes on last.
Right.
And plenty of things could have happened. There's no reason why Punk couldn't have held the title and face Rock and lost to Rock at Mania instead of the Rumble.
Right.
The only reason that happened was because you were dead set 2 years ago on Cena, on this 3-year storyline
right.
of Cena and Rock, and you would not deviate.
And they wanted a championship for the last one.
Yeah. So, and Punk, you know, Punk said it in the interview. He said, you know, he did, and I did not notice it until he pointed it out, but he lost to Taker, and then he lost to Brock, or Rock, Taker, and then Brock, yeah. all in 1 year. The three biggest pay-per-views in a row was CM Punk losing to a part-timer.
Yeah.
And the best, well, I can't say that his match with Rock was the best match of the night, but that wasn't his fault.
No.
It was the Rock's fault, and I'm still mad about that
match. But the other two, his match was the best.
Best match of the night.
And even like that SummerSlam one, that one beat out Daniel Bryan and Cena, which was a great match.
Yeah.
But it beat it out because it was that much better.
Yeah. But I cannot say that CM Punk is unfairly upset about that because you have, because WWE's biggest concern, and rightly so, is the casual fan. I was at my maddest this past week listening to that. My maddest I've been to WWE in a long time, maybe ever. It never occurred to me that I was not going to watch on Monday and that I would be canceling the network subscription.
Yeah.
WWE has me. Like,
yeah.
So they don't have to worry about me. Like, they might want to try and make a really cool Dolph Ziggler shirt, and that's how they'll get more money out of me. But they're not going to lose me as a viewer.
No.
There are casual fans who, yes, will tune in the Rumble and Mania and SummerSlam and maybe, you know, a handful of Raws in between when football's not on.
Right.
And they did. They watched CM Punk lose and lose and lose.
Yep.
And so I cannot blame CM Punk for being upset about that creatively.
Yeah.
I mean, again, he lost at the Rumble. He was, you know, Kane took him out at the Rumble.
Yeah.
And so even though I'm sitting there knowing, well, okay, he'll definitely go over Kane at Elimination Chamber and then face Triple H at Mania.
Yeah.
People aren't going to watch, you know, Elimination Chamber, and they'll come to Mania and going, why is this CM Punk, who I've never seen win a match, you know, feuding against Triple H?
In a high-profile match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I can't blame him for that.
No.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I do think, I think this is Triple H's first real test as a businessman.
Yeah.
Of a running the company is mending the bridge to CM Punk.
Right. And it's proven that he has been able to mend bridges that of people that their beef with WWE was before him.
Yeah, say he's been able to mend
right.
the bridges like that did not bruise his own right. ego.
The only reason they were able to, you know, mend the bridge with Bruno Sammartino was that Triple H wasn't Vince.
Yes.
That was really the only reason. You know, and I don't know exactly what went on with mending with Ultimate Warrior. You know, but again, like, that wasn't really Triple H's beef to squash, but he still, you know, was the main factor in Warrior coming back. And ultimately, you know, it did mend the relationship between Warrior and Vince.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you're saying, like, this is the first time where it was something that started while Triple H was there, and he's overseeing it as it happened.
And the thing is, the Triple H that we have heard about will have the attitude of, we don't need him. Punk screwed Punk.
Yeah.
You know, and that's gone.
Yeah.
With Triple H having no interest in... And the thing is, Triple H has no interest, Punk seems to have no interest.
Yeah.
And the rest of us are sitting here having lots of interest.
Yeah. Vince included.
Vince included. Vince was on Stone Cold's podcast, a surprisingly candid podcast.
Yeah, I was expecting a very cookie cutter, asking very, you know, broad and dull questions.
I didn't expect it to be... I expected there to be, like, some hardish hitting questions, yeah. But I expected it to be a lot about, like, remember when we were in the ring?
Yeah.
Weren't we awesome?
Which we did get a little bit of that.
We got a little bit of that, but... Okay, so, just because we're still on the Punk thing, he apologized to Punk. Hmm. He said he would be open and helping for Punk to come back. So, do you think, having listened to both of those podcasts, do you think Punk is done with WWE forever?
I don't want to say forever. Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
You know, at least a Hall of Fame appearance, at least at some point down the road.
Okay.
In the ring, it's looking less and less likely. A, because, you know, that's going to be a really, really, really huge bridge to mend.
Mm-hmm.
And two, Punk's got to have some sort of passion for it again before he's ever going to be willing to do it again. Because yes. You know him, like, if he's not into it 100%, he's not even going to bother.
Yeah.
You know? So... But, Punk has to find some sort of passion for it again before he's going to come back.
By the way, Punk mentioned a story about, like, a fan that had bothered him at a hockey game the week of the podcast dropping.
Right.
Or maybe a little bit before that. So, people out there who do have the wonderful rare opportunity to meet CM Punk in public... You are still making him go through the worst part about being a WWE wrestler.
Yeah.
You are part of the problem, like...
Yeah.
Not to, like, in all fairness,
and it's not like
it would be very hard for me not to be part of the problem.
Right. But I have a hard time thinking that you would be a jerk about it.
Yeah.
You know? We all know of Punk's infamous rules of when to approach him and everything. If he's out and about and whatever, or he is, you know, not... currently busy with something, or he doesn't have his hands full with something, then yeah, sure, kindly go up to him, introduce yourself, shake his hand, and then if you want an autograph, kindly ask for a photo or something like that. If he's at the gym or if he's wearing headphones or on the plane or whatever, then leave him alone.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I get it. Like, I might not ever get a chance to talk to him again. Sorry.
Yes.
You know, he almost gave up a lot of, you know, a lot bigger health problems for our entertainment. You can live with it.
Let him listen to his music.
Right. So, no, I agree. Like, at this point forward, the best way to make sure Punk comes back is if we stop, collectively, we stop being jerks to him when we see him.
Yes. Other stuff that Vince mentioned. So, Vince kind of... buried the entire locker room.
Either that or he's trying to set some sort of fire underneath him.
No. Vince buried the entire locker
room. Stone Cold tried a lot of fire underneath him.
Yes.
I will say that.
Here's the thing. Stone Cold took, like... I think Stone Cold was aware. I'm not sure Vince was aware. Vince was very surprisingly candid.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where... I'm not sure somebody adequately explained to Vince what a podcast was.
Yeah.
Like,
but he knew it was going on his network.
He did. But, like, he just, it was, he did. He sat there and said that nobody in the locker room was taking initiative, was reaching for the brass ring, nobody had done that since Cena.
Yeah. Which That's is, Randy Orton included.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that, I mean, so, the most accurate thing is, have you seen the picture of, Skinner from The Simpsons?
We were talking about the millennials. Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, I think somebody has edited on the internet. But he says, there's a quote in The Simpsons where Skinner says, am I out of touch?
Oh.
No. It is the children who are wrong.
Right. Yeah, and someone edited that and it's like, am I out of touch? No, it was the millennials. Or,
yeah. And so, you know what? And like, in all absolute honesty, let's say that CM Punk has not grabbed the ring, not grabbed that brass ring, even though CM Punk has grabbed that brass ring and pierced himself with it. Like,
yeah.
CM Punk got it. Zack Ryder grabbed the brass ring.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder went out on his own time with zero support from the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Put himself over.
Yeah.
Did it. Made it work. Was successful.
They didn't even... WWE didn't even have a YouTube presence at the time.
No. And here the thing is... The thing that really bothers me is that Zack Ryder was reburied at the slightest chance that it might hurt Cena.
Yeah.
And that is... And it is... We will forever... We have covered this in countless hours. We are on, like, episode... We are closing and clicking at episode 150.
Yeah.
At approximately an hour each. Some run, you know...
Yeah.
Some run closer to 40 minutes. We've had some run over 2 hours.
Yeah.
But it is safe to say that we have dedicated 50 to 75 hours of just talking about the John Cena problem in the WWE.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could agree with that.
And just, it's... It will always be there.
Yeah.
Until John Cena physically cannot keep up with what is required.
Yeah.
And so, to give Vince the unbelievable, undeserved benefit of the doubt, the only thing I can think that is any way accurate of nobody has grabbed the brass ring since Cena is that nobody has become the complete and total image of the WWE guy like Cena has.
Right.
Which has to include the ring work, the mic skills, both of which your mileage may vary on if John Cena has them. I'll say that he does have both of those.
Yeah.
The likability, the willingness to do everything for WWE.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just live, eat, and breathe this life. But even then, I find it very hard to believe that CM Punk didn't do that.
Right. And, you know, just think about within the last year or 2 years, Daniel Bryan kind of did the same as well. Like, granted, it was more of a natural, like, occurrence of it. But, but the fans were the ones that kind of grabbed the ring at that point.
Well, and I mean, put him there. I mean, that's the thing is, like, so, when Vince said nobody in this locker room is doing it, we have a lazy locker room.
Yeah.
I was like,
Stop it. I'm not so sure about that.
No, and Stone Cold said, he said, wait, what about Cesaro? Like, he called out Cesaro specifically.
Yeah. And Stone Cold has not made it, like, a secret at all about how much he loves Cesaro.
Yes. But as much as it is nice to have Stone Cold put his stamp of approval on you like that, that is, like, he pulled out Cesaro as the one for Vince to specifically say why Cesaro doesn't work.
Right. And, but, you know, and then, of course, Vince also mentioned that he's not giving up on the guy or anything. No.
And here's the thing. You know what? If that's Vince's opinion, that's Vince's honest opinion of these problems. And, you know, the things that he said were not the most outlandishly wrong thing. Like, he said, like, his mic skills are not as good as his in-ring skills. And they're not.
Right.
And, you know, I think anybody can agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that the problem is that you listen to the enormous amount of noise of Cesaro throwing Big Show over the top ring.
Yeah.
And went, that should be a heel.
Right. Yeah. Because at that point, because, you know, Vince said that, you know, in order for you to have that it, you have to have people care about you and mm-hmm. stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, like, there was a lot of people who cared about him at the end at the end of that Battle Royal at WrestleMania. A lot of people. And a lot of people cared that he got aligned with Paul Heyman the next night. We were confused by it, but that was still a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then from that point on, it just didn't work. And because it was like we were confused about what exactly we were supposed to feel about Cesaro.
Yes.
You know? And then since then, he's essentially gone nowhere.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I can see that. That's Vince's opinion. Vince is giving his honest opinion mm-hmm. as to what he sees in the locker room for there with Cesaro. Okay, agree with it or disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see how Vince can look over the superstars of the past 3 years and say nobody has reached for the brass ring
right.
since Cena.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
And also, I have something I didn't agree when Stone Cold was asking him, like, because he was referring to his own situation whenever he walked away, and ultimately what brought him back was, you know, him talking with JR and him kind of being the, you know,
mm-hmm.
Facilitator to talking to Vince. And Vince honestly apparently doesn't believe that there's someone like that now that could reach Punk because him being alone. And I'm thinking, I was like, there's probably a few people that could.
You employ his wife.
you employ his wife there. And I'm pretty sure AJ's probably staying out of it, which is fine, you know, because she's got to look out for herself, honestly.
And that also kind of...
she doesn't want to, like, get involved too much.
No.
And
I don't believe, you know... And you go back to that video of young AJ crying meeting Lita.
Right, yeah.
And clearly, you know what...
This is her own dream that she's got to worry about.
Yes.
Completely confident that Punk understands that.
Yes.
And so, even in the interview, he doesn't really refer to her specifically, you know, because he's not trying to involve her in a lot of the stories is because, you know, he's not trying to make things harder for her.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, he does employ his wife. He still employs his road wife, Kofi.
Mm-hmm.
There's that right there.
Paul Heyman.
And honestly, Joey Mercury.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You saw on his documentary that those guys were close, and he's the reason why why Mercury is back in the company in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, and he's now having a growing role in the company.
And Stone Cold.
And Stone Cold, yeah. And Stone Cold, and, you know...
I mean, Stone Cold, since January, Stone Cold has said... I remember it was the week of or the week after, mm-hmm. where Stone Cold's like, I don't know if it's real or if it's a work. If it's real, Punk, go back. I did it, and I regret it. Go back.
Yeah.
So, like, Stone Cold has been the biggest supporter of... them working this out since the very, very beginning.
And that was that one thing, and I'm just thinking out loud here. Punk had that one thing where, you know, he was talking about why he chose to do it on Colt's podcast and not somebody else's. And he didn't specifically say, he's, you know, he was saying, like, someone is basically using his friendship as a way to further their own podcast or whatever, just claim they have some sort of insider knowledge or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people assume Jericho, whereas Jericho since, of course, you know, completely denied it. You don't think he's talking about Stone Cold, do you?
I don't know.
Because Stone Cold was on a talk show, like, a couple weeks after that, talking candidly about Punk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, a lot of what they talked about when he was on this talk show. It was, like, Arsenio Hall's show that has since been canceled, but still.
No. I was, like, at a pizza joint, and that happened to be on the TV. And yeah. I'm like, Stone Cold's on TV!
Right.
Arsenio Hall has a show?
Right. And like you said, like, Stone Cold, like, you know, he's not trying to say, I don't think he's really made it a point to say that him and Punk
are tight.
Tight or whatever.
Besties.
You know. Because I would clearly say that Jericho probably had at one point a close relationship with Punk than Stone Cold did. So, I don't know, I was just kind of wondering that out loud, because maybe we were just assuming Jericho, just assumed it was Jericho. But it might be right, and again, it might just been, you know, Punk had one point of view of thinking, and Stone Cold had another. But, you know, handed out to Stone Cold, he really did put over Colt's podcast.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like, he mentioned Art of Wrestling like it was nothing. He said the words TNA
on WWE programming
like it was nothing twice.
Yeah.
And just here's part of the thing is, I've gone back and watched the Pipe Bomb promo since Vince's podcast.
Yeah.
And it made it better knowing, like, watching Vince take time, just like, he, like, ground that interview to a halt until we all understood the difference between sports entertainment and pro wrestling again.
Yeah.
And just, like, seeing him, like, you know, do this, like, cringe every time Stone Cold said pro wrestling. And so just to go back and watch CM Punk say, "I'm the best wrestler," and just know that Vince is standing in Gorilla going, "He said wrestler."
Right.
"He said wrestler."
And I'm like, yeah, and I get it. I get that, but I also get what Stone Cold was saying. It's like, yeah, it is sports entertainment. You do a variety of things, but one of those things is pro wrestling. So what do you call what they're doing in the ring?
From bell to bell.
Are they sports entertaining? No, they're wrestling.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, I guess they do a lot of other things. It is a overall show. It is entertainment. It is acting. It is writing. It is all this stuff.
And it's wonderful. And here's the thing. If I truly believed that, you know, I could say, sorry, like, okay, literally before this podcast, somebody was talking, and I was with Heather, and I, you know, it's like, oh, gotta go, I have to podcast about wrestling tonight. And somebody goes, wait, WWF?
Right.
To which my standard response is, it's WWE. It's been 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one that sounds sad. It is a standard pop culture.
Right. Absolutely. No. You've given the general public plenty of time. Them saying WWF now just sounds dumb.
No, you're wrong. But here's the thing.
You're the one who was out of touch.
Yes. Here's the thing. If there was a 2% chance that somebody's like, wrestling, you mean the fake stuff? And I went, not wrestling, sports entertainment. And they went, now I'm interested.
Right.
What is sports entertainment?
It's wrestling.
Then you know what? I would be all about calling this some sports entertainment.
Right.
If there was that sliver of a chance it would actually do anything, but it's not.
No.
And so I'm going to keep calling it wrestling, because when I call it sports entertainment, you're like, hey, arm wrestling's technically a sport. Jump rope competitions are technically a sport.
Right.
Guess what we should put in the ring on SmackDown this week?
Snake charming?
Nope, so. So I'm going to keep calling it pro wrestling.
Fair enough. Alright, trying to think of some other stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so, the one thing that happened on actual, like, wrestling television, Raw, CM Punk, or not CM Punk.
I was like, whoa.
That's all I'm going to talk about.
Really, now you're really stretching.
Cena is in a tables match with Seth Rollins with condition of,
he would lose the number one contendership.
Yeah. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because Cena is incapable of winning tables matches.
True.
Because it's,
and we know the whole thing. Like, it's a way for Cena to lose.
Yeah.
Without
getting pinned. Which, yeah, and this is not a brand new trick that they have up their sleeve, but you know what? This means that Cena won't be number one contender anymore.
And that's, take a win however you can.
No, and that's the thing is, you know what? There will be a stumble, or he'll fall through a table, I don't care. Seth Rollins will win, CM Punk will demand a rematch on Raw.
CM Punk?
Cena! We've said CM Punk so many times this podcast. Cena will demand a rematch the next night on Raw.
Right.
Somebody else, probably Kane, will interfere with that. Maybe, like, Randy Orton, I don't care. And then Cena will have a side feud with them at the Royal Rumble, keeping him far and away safe from the championship match. He won't be in the Rumble, so he can't win the Rumble.
Yep.
So he can't be in the championship match for WrestleMania.
Hey, he's still good.
Nope. this is how it's going to be. It's all better now. They fixed it.
Daniel Bryan wasn't in the Royal Rumble.
Let me have this.
He's still in the championship match at WrestleMania.
Let me have this.
And I'm pretty sure the fans would have to do a lot less for.
Okay, you know what? If the entirety of Rhode Island starts pointing fingers up and down in the air going, you can't see me, fine.
Why would, that's not how you can see me. They don't point their fingers in the air to do the hand motion for that.
Whatever. If they do it in uniform, if the entirety of Rhode Island does you can't see me in uniform, Cena can be in the main event. I will not mind.
Will you?
Nope. If he gets the entirety of Rhode Island to do it in uniform, he will have done something that I'll be like, I'm interested
in. I like how that is the measuring stick now. Like, if you can get Rhode Island to put you over, then you deserve everything.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Anything you want to say what's making you happy?
Well, obviously wrestling related. The interview overall with Vince made me happy. Just because it was just weird and different to hear him talk like that. To hear him use insider terms. To hear him, you know, refer to Undertaker as Mark Calloway just seemed, like, weird. But I was like, okay, fine. Yeah, they are being candid. Why not? It was a good interview. Hopefully he might do another one of these with Stone Cold at some point. Probably going to space it out for a while.
Honestly, you do this... I want to say once a month, but if you do this every other month, like that is worth the $10.99 or the $9.99.
I sit down with Vince.
Yeah,
right, fair enough. I was gonna go like once a year, but okay.
He's
a busy man.
He is, but it's an hour and 15 minutes. If he decides to make it go longer,
fair enough. Let's see, non wrestling related. Of course, the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah,
or the teaser trailer. Excuse me. I saw Interstellar. Finally, this past weekend.
It's good.
It is amazing. Yeah, it kind of got me emotionally on a different level, but that has more to do with, you know, where I am myself. And I understand it's not going to grab everyone the same way. I get that. But even with that aside, holy crap, that's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I want to go see it again.
Yeah.
My only complaint was that I didn't see it in on IMAX, but it was kind of a spur of the moment kind of thing, going down to the theater, you know, right that's down
fair.
The road from us.
Yeah, that's fair.
Alright, so what about you?
Yeah, WrestleMania, obviously, the surrealism of this podcast.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, like, it feels like the pipe bomb happened.
Yeah.
And then everyone went, we're in the reality era.
Yeah.
And so WWE went, okay, the reality era means everybody has Twitter, and that's basically all that the reality era has been.
Yeah.
But this feels like, oh, this is the reality era. Vince just sits down and tells us what's happening.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So yeah, that just the weird, bizarre, it's never happened before. Like that is something that's never happened in the history
not that
of wrestling.
Much. Not that much. Now he has, you know, kind of broken Cave up a little bit in an interview here and there, but not as much candor as he had this time around. Yeah. Like, this is... It was a whole new level for Vince.
Also, Vince is now on record saying Macho Man's gonna be in the Hall of Fame someday.
At some point, yeah.
That makes me happy.
No, yeah.
So, good on Stone Cold. Like, that was the thing. I was not expecting that. Like, people were going back and forth. He gonna talk about Punk? He's not gonna talk about Punk. He'll talk about Punk.
Yeah, and he got that out of the way. And then he was like, the very next point that he needed to make was... Is Macho Man going to the Hall of Fame? And he was like, and then like demanded an answer when he was like, soon? Huh?
So that, I mean, and that's the thing is like.
That's the thing, like, only Stone Cold probably could get away with talking to Vince like that.
Absolutely, and that's the thing is like, you kind of sit there and like, if I could like just straight out ask Vince a question, what would it be? And if like you gave me some time to think about it, that would be one of them. I'd be like, hey, Macho Man Randy Savage, Hall of Fame? And he did that. And it's nice to see that just kind of happened to Vince.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what's making me happy this week.
Okay.
It's just that.
Non-wrestling related?
Non-wrestling related? Christmas is coming.
I bought your Christmas gift, and you're either going to love it, or it's going to be something that you already own.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet, but it's ordered, and it's on the way.
Alright, I'm looking forward to it.
Yay. And, since I'm in the giving mood, that's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. So, this comes from Inside Pulse, from our good friend Swayze. He says, I wanted to tell you that I listened to the CM Punk podcast, and it seems pretty apparent that the reason CM Punk left the WWE was because of Blair. It's 100% his fault. I asked Blair the reason he would do such a thing, and he stated to me that he only did it to spite Joel. I hope you can cover this betrayal on your next show. Peace and love.
So, there's an episode of Community where, and this isn't, like, super... It's gonna come around.
Okay.
A lot of people know about this, so I'm not like.
Super... I'm about to make the Stone Cold like.
Yeah.
Hand motion to get back to the game.
It's the episode where if you watch in the episode, there's this entire plot of Abed helping this pregnant lady and delivering this baby and stuff, where like you don't notice it the first time around, but like you have to kind of watch it.
Eventually, and... like a few scenes later, you're like. Okay, something's going on back there. What's going on? Like, you assume it's some extra.
There's just enough movement to, like, catch your eye, and you're like, I think somebody's delivering a baby, and then you watch the episode again, and you're like, oh, Abed's in the background of several things.
It's an entire, like unspoken storyline going on.
Yeah, so, but it's something where, like, you don't get all the pieces, you just kind of get what you're aware of and kind of piece it together. And I like to imagine that there's some people who just listen to this podcast and get like these weird snippets of like Swayze and Blair and their whole like sub storyline that only exists through the mail sack submissions.
Pretty much. Nice way to bring it around. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Conversely, here's Blair, but he's basically telling us to go read Swayze's comment. But at the end, he says he thinks this whole talking punk thing is making him think it's a work.
If CM Punk does come back ever, and especially if he comes back sometime like next year or something, this will be our Montreal screw job.
Yeah.
Where there will always be some people going, it's a work, it's a work, it's a work. It's always been a work from the very beginning.
Right.
And I fully believe that Vince already has a, like, idea in mind of the storyline to bring Punk back.
Right.
That will involve this podcast.
Yeah.
It will. I fully believe that it will.
Yeah.
It'll come back, Pipe Bomb number 2, which will effectively be the podcast.
Yeah.
And that's the... what CM Punk will come back for.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you won't be alone in yelling work for the rest of your life, whether it is one or not.
Right. No matter how long it takes for that to eventually happen.
Yeah.
All right, this comes from Emily off of Facebook. If intelligence were, in fact, sexually transmitted, who would be the smartest superstar and diva?
So I was trying really hard.
It's like, who is dating, a physicist or something.
I was trying really hard to like work some sort of like Damien Sandow intellectual savior with The Miz with Maurice kind of thing, but I couldn't make it work.
Yeah, no, Sandow is, as far as I know, not having sex with Miz and or Maurice.
Just whoever the Maurice stand-in is, but I couldn't make it work. So
okay. It theoretically probably should be Brie.
Yeah.
Because Daniel Bryan's a pretty smart dude.
He is. Pretty smart dude.
Probably, Cena's probably business smart. He knows all, he studies a lot of languages, he knows a lot of language, so Nikki should be up there. Really, you know, AJ probably should be up there as well, although Punk is, his temper gets in the way of his intelligence sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sitting here being like, is Glenn Jacobs dating?
His wife.
Okay.
But she must be, like, but they
she's not a diva or anything,
no,
right?
No. But they do own, some sort of, like, mortgage company together. Mm-hmm. So she must be pretty smart, so. Yeah. Maybe him.
Yeah.
I don't know the intelligence of his wife, but I'm assuming... probably pretty high up there.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess in kayfabe, nobody's smarter than what Damien Sandow once was, right? Like, that's the basic.
Yeah. Yeah.
There may be somebody there that was like...
I don't know what Jennifer Hudson's intelligence
is. Oh, yeah. Well, he graduated from Harvard Law.
But she's not a diva.
No.
So somebody.
So really, she was the one that should be getting smarter from this magical transference of intelligence through genitals.
Yeah, I guess nobody else is. No wrestler is dating somebody on the outside that eyebrows from Total Divas is like the only other non-wrestler dating a wrestler that I can think of.
And just from what I've seen of Amy Schumer, I don't think she's that smart. So. No. Yeah. No.
So.
I don't know. The only way to, really accurately describe, talk about this is really just to talk about, the couples that are in the company.
You need to find charts.
Yeah.
I bet somebody's made internet charts of who's dated who.
Oh, there's YouTube videos dedicated to this. Here's a list of all of WWE couples. Blah, blah, blah. Here's photos.
Yeah. It's
really weird. I know this is a random tangent. I saw a Shawn Michaels highlight video on YouTube. Guess what music it was set to?
What?
Turned down for what?
Really?
Yeah. It was delightful.
I'll take your word
on that. Surprisingly so.
Take your word.
And this comes from Jay. He's got a bit of a two-parter. For A, did you guys hear that Mick Foley made a documentary about Santa Claus? Also, if you were to sit on St. Mick's lap, what would you ask for Christmas? A, yes, we know about the documentary.
The documentary,
they just added it on Netflix.
So check it out there.
I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my list.
So, in KFAB, St. Mick can grant people the ability to talk. So he's straight up magic.
Yeah, he is.
So if it has to be wrestling related, I obviously wish for peace and goodwill between Punk and WWE because I want it back.
Fair enough.
And then for greed, I don't know. Keep wishing more wishes? Does he abide by genie rules?
I don't know. I don't know how St. Mick works. Yeah, I would wish for Punk to magically, not be hurting and to, find his smile.
Yes, find his smile, and if he can manipulate time, not have him drop the belt to Rock in the Royal Rumble 2013.
Perfect. And, finally, Jay asked, did either of us send a question or comment to Cole Cabana's podcast? I have. I sent one on mine yesterday. I know you had sent one.
What'd you send yours?
The one I talked to you about.
I wasn't listening.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, maybe Punk is listening.
Okay.
Go for it.
Sure. No, I sent, Punk had talked about how he was interested in maybe having an acting career after his wrestling career, and that's why the biggest reason why he was wanting to do 12 Rounds 2. So I was asking, because he didn't really touch on if he was going to do that now that he's out of wrestling. I was going to ask him if he's still interested in doing that. And possibly would he be interested in reading a short script about a man having his way with a car. Asking for a friend.
Stupid script.
It is a stupid script.
Yeah, I asked, I was actually going to ask what were AJ's thoughts on things. But he's clearly avoiding that already. And I know other people are asking that, so.
Yeah.
I didn't do that one. I did ask, if CM Punk had complete creative control, how would he have ended his title run?
Okay.
Because CM Punk,
obviously he has an opinion on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, one of the things, we haven't really touched on this, but one of the things listening to the podcast, CM Punk would make an amazing booker.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
In addition to, the genuine tragedy of not, there are 5-star all-time great matches out there that did not happen because of this.
Right.
CM Punk and John Cena put on a 5-star match on Raw.
Yeah.
You get those two guys to main event WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and just the chemistry there.
Yep.
Holy crap. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, but in addition to all of that, it is a shame that CM Punk has lost interest in the business because CM Punk has a natural talent for booking and building.
I honestly, I had always thought of, whenever Punk finished up and if he was willing to, he would have made a great, producer as, Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble are doing now. He would have been great off-screen, just, he could have made an easy living doing that.
Yeah.
if he wanted to. Like, clearly he had a lot of star power, so he can do other stuff outside of the company.
But the thing is, he very much seems to have an eye for what's best for business, mm-hmm. which, yeah, they say on the show, and that's Triple H's catchphrase.
But that is also also always been their theme.
I am very worried that Triple H will not act in the best interest of the business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the CM Punk incident will go on to see if Triple H will act in the best interest of the business.
And that was a point that I had made to Joel whenever we were first watching the Vince podcast, was that how Vince handled the Punk situation was very, you know, he did make some points to, you know, kind of stand by WWE a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but he was also very, you know, apologetic to Punk in some aspects. I think if it was Triple H doing that on this podcast, it would have been a lot more combative, I think.
Yeah.
I think it would not have been as... I don't want to say it wouldn't have been as level-headed, because I don't think he would have just instantly lost, you know, blew his top for that.
Yeah.
But I feel like his speech would have been a lot more combative. Well, a lot more offensive.
The other thing I hope somebody... In fact, I'm sure somebody's asked, I hope they actually offered the thing, is somebody asking CM Punk, what would it take for you to return to the WWE?
Yeah.
Or just return to wrestling. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
In all honesty, if CM Punk wants to show up on Lucha Underground, I'll watch Lucha Underground.
Good, because the past couple weeks have been kind of hard to trudge through.
Yeah.
But I'm going.
I'm only like 2 episodes in.
What do you think so far?
It's fun.
Okay.
I mean, it's, yeah.
You're watching because Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, Johnny Mundo. Which I'll call him Johnny Mundo now, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. He's still technically Jomo.
Jomo, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I think this Skip Sheffield guy has really got the way to go.
You just need to get rid of that stupid F-ing R. Mark.
Yeah. I'm still not even calling him by his real name.
No.
Just Ryan a Reeves. Previous character.
Right.
So.
Fair enough.
All right. Anything else for you?
Nope, that'll be it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRTire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, still the easiest way to listen to the show. You just subscribe there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Maybe write a review. Any kind of that will really help out the podcast.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insightpulse.com, leave us a comment on there. You might be like Swayze and we'll feature it on here on the show.
We're also on Facebook. We get a lot of the mail sack submissions from that.
Yep.
So just follow us on there. Talk, interact, just kind of hang out on Facebook style.
And, you know, I throw in stuff that I just catch on the internet that piques my interest, Joel's interest, and we just throw it up on there and just... Whatever, you know.
Wrestling during the week when it's not Monday.
There you go.
So, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.